Joanne Haywood, and I played Miss Lovelock in two series of Grace and Favour. So it was a few years ago now, and I can't guarantee my memory on this. It may well have been that my agent suggested me for the role, but I've actually got a funny feeling that how I came to have the joy of being a part of this fabulous series was I've worked with the director, Mike Stevens, on two series of First of the Summer Wine, and he kindly had me in as a guest artist in the British Empire. So I have a funny feeling that it was down to Mike that I got to read for Jessica Lovelock. And whether I saw a script beforehand, I can't remember. It was a little while ago, but I know that Jessica Lovelock had horses and rode a motorbike. So I was a little bit cheeky and I wore jodhpurs for the audition. Now, actually, I've never ridden a horse in my life. I've been to dance classes when I was little and you tend to do one or the other. So, but obviously you shouldn't tell lies. So I remember somebody asking me. Now, again, my memory may be playing tricks, but there were quite a few people in the room. And I think David Croft and Jeremy Lloyd were there. And I've got a feeling it might have been Jeremy Lloyd. He went, oh, so you ride. And I just went, I just laughed. I didn't say yes. But I came out of that audition I had a good feeling that it had gone my way. And I thought I'd better crack on with learning to horse ride. And I managed to find a lovely young lady who taught me, because I thought I need to learn pretty quickly. If I go to a traditional riding school, they'll probably do it properly, but take a little too long. And I need to learn sharpish. And again, because I thought, well, this is a sitcom, it's not a period drama. If there was going to be a panoramic shot of me galloping across the hills, then I would really need to ride. But I thought I need to look comfortable and as though I know what I'm doing. So she taught me to pick its hooves, flat its tail, generally be comfortable. Anyway, I was honest. I phoned Mike and I said, look, I don't ride horses or motorbikes, but I'm having lessons, but I don't know what to do about the motorbike. And he said, oh, no problem there. There's no way we will be letting you loose on a motorbike. You'll be having a stunt double. And that was another lovely, joyous little reunion, because many, many years earlier as a child, I'd been in a programme called The Book Bower. I think I was probably 12 or 13. I was young enough that I still needed a chaperone. My mum was the chaperone. And this lovely man called Roy Alon was playing a highwayman, so he was galloping around on a horse. All these years later, there he was on Grace and Favour as my stunt double for the motorbike, which was hilarious. And I did think, how is that ever going to look like me? You know, they gave him a curly wig, but he was a man considerably broad-shouldered, etc. But it's so clever what they can do in the edit suite. And I don't think you can tell it's not me on that bike. Well, meeting the original cast members from Ivy and Sub was initially a little intimidating. You know, they'd done, I think, 10 series over 12 years. They knew each other so well. All their relationships were so established. So sort of thinking of fitting into that group was a little daunting, but no, I didn't need to worry. I was made so welcome. There was a lot of laughter. There's a very giggly group. Molly in particular was just a joy. So it was just a blast from start to finish. I think possibly because the storylines meant that I worked more closely with him than the others, I would have to say my favourite was the gorgeous Frank Thornton, who played Captain Peacock. We had a lot of lovely scenes together, including some funny moments on the motorbike. But my absolute favourite, there was an episode about a mummified cat in an attic. And Frank's character ended up having this sort of fantasy that we were like Margaret Lockwood and James Mason in Wicked Lady, and they shot it all in black and white. And costume and makeup departments did an absolute cracking job. My costume was incredible. I felt like I looked like I was in God with the Wind or something. It was just, you don't get to do those sort of things, you know, very often as an actress. So yeah, I had a lot of fun, and say particularly with Captain Peacock. For both the series, which I think happens for most of that style of programme, that was how I was used to working, we would have 2 or 3 weeks on location first, getting all the exterior shots. And again, that was lovely because we were in Gloucestershire, in Tetbury, in Malmesbury, and it was beautiful. And I seem to remember we were fairly blessed with the weather as well. I can't remember what time of year we recorded, but so we had a couple of weeks. I remember some funny moments. We had sheep in an episode, you know what they say about working with animals. And then once all the location stuff was done, we then had an episode a week in the studio, which was lovely. We had a rehearsal room. And again, I think we rehearsed Monday to Thursday, probably round about Wednesday or Thursday. The producers would come in, or the heads of each department would come in and watch the run through, plot it out. I think by Friday, we were pretty much back on our own again. Saturday morning, we'd go into the studio at Television Centre, do a camera rehearsal in the morning and then a dress rehearsal in the afternoon. And then it was lovely because the studio audience would arrive. So it was almost like theatre. You could hear the buzz of the audience and the warm-up man and the adrenaline. Then each of the characters would come out to be introduced, which was particularly nice, being a new character, be able to sort of fit in with that. And then it was recorded once a week with a studio audience. As I've already mentioned, we were a giggly company, and particularly Molly. And there's moments that wouldn't necessarily be bloopers, as in they wouldn't make it to sort of Auntie's bloopers or whatever it was called. You know, you wouldn't be making money on Ivy Big Framed, but there were just lovely moments. So for instance, there was an episode where Molly had been accused of stealing a horse and cart, and she was in the dock, and as a bribe somebody had given some pheasants to the judge, and the judge said hang the bird in the cellar, obviously meaning the pheasant. And Molly had Slocum had to think she meant it meant her, and she did a faint, and she did, no disrespect to Molly because she wasn't a spring chicken by then, she did the most fabulous fall. She didn't put her arm down to stop herself or anything, and you can imagine the moment that Mike shouted cut, everyone was rushing over, is Molly okay? And she was just lying on the floor giggling away. The same thing happened with a horse and cart moment when a seat collapsed as she got into it, and Amita, the production manager, ran over, you know, gosh, are you okay, Molly? And she was just giggling away. So we had all those sort of things. And then we did have one that I know did make it to a TV bloopers. And it was the episode where it was the mummified cat episode again. So one of my favourites. And we'd taken this cat to a museum. And I need to try and remember, the wonderful gentleman who was playing the museum curator was Patrick Fife, who was actually Hilda Brackett of Hinge and Brackett fame. And he had, as part of the script, a story of a mummified bog man. you could just see where this was going. And he had something like a line of saying, you can see he was a potter, he still has his tool in his hand. In which case there was a little snigger hick all along the line as first Molly went, then Wendy went, then I went. And I think that took a few takes. And then not so much bloopers, but me being a very inexperienced horsewoman. In fact, I think I had 6 or 7 lessons. I was incredibly nervous, and the horses they used for filming had done so much filming. I went to find the groom on the very first day of shooting, and I said, look, you know, I'm very inexperienced, any tips you can give me? And she said, the horses will just go on action, they will know. And I had a great horse called Flash Jack, and he made me look so much more competent than I was. And the costume lady, Mary Hubbard, I recall her, got me the most beautiful jacket and little cravat thing, and I looked fabulous. I looked the part, but my legs were trembling so much. I think I was giving this poor horse very conflicting signals, and he'd been wonderful, and he trotted into shop, and he stopped on his mark, and I was now having a conversation as Miss Lovelock with Captain Peacock and Mrs. Slocum in the pony and trap, and Captain Peacock had a line, will you be following the hunt this afternoon, Miss Lovelock? And at which point he had to say, yes, I guess you probably will, because Flash Jack had got very bored of my confusing signals and wandered off. He didn't do a spectacular gallop away. He just wandered off, and there was no way I could stop him. So I think I was also in that little outtake. And there was the point, I used to forget that I had a microphone on. And for the second series, I'd said, could I have the same horses again? I feel like I bonded with them and had a scene in the stable. And I had to be out of shot, and there was a delayed action. So there was the first action happening, and on the delayed action, Flash Jack and I had to trot into shot. And I was recorded by the sound man saying, now listen, don't you go showing me up. I've asked for you on this series. As I was doing a little bonding moment with Flash Jack. So, yeah, it was, I'm sure you can tell from how I'm recording it all, it was a wonderful, wonderful time with lots of laughter. An honour and a privilege. I mean, they're body of work beforehand just sort of spoke for itself. So, and that was what was so wonderful about those scripts, you know, it does the work for you. You can tell when the minute it comes off the page, you know exactly what, I mean, obviously the director still has his job, but I sometimes think little direction needed, because it's just all there. And they were lovely, and they were very present as well. They were always around every week, they would be there. And what was nice, we would get to see on the first day of rehearsals for the next episode, we'd get to see a rough cut of the previous episode. So although there wasn't necessarily a through story and that each episode stood alone, there was still that continuity of relationships within the characters. It was so lovely to be working with them. I think sadly, for whatever reason, BBC didn't ever repeat either series, I don't think. I may be wrong there, apologies if I am. So sadly, no royalties or repeat fees from there. But BBC Worldwide, I think it was very popular, particularly in America, where it was known as Are You Being Served Again? So every now and then I get a little check through from BBC Worldwide. But money aside, it's about more than that. I think the people that love it would love to see it again here without having to watch it on a DVD. I think there's something about watching a programme actually being aired. So, you know, BBC, if anybody important's listening and you fancy finding a little slot for it, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who would appreciate it. After Grace and Favour, I did do other sitcoms, sadly not any Croft and Lloyd or Croft and Perry. I think Grace and Favour was 92 to 93. And very sadly, by 93, I think their shows were sort of pretty much coming to an end. You Rang My Lord and The Low Low finished around the same sort of time, I think, and Heidi Hyde finished several years earlier. Obviously, Fabulous Dad's Army and It Ain't Our Hot Mum were a little before my time. And it just felt a little bit end of an era. I think from a commissioning point of view, the BBC were maybe going down a different route then. I'm very biased. So obviously, I would have loved it if they'd carried on. I was lucky enough to go on to, I did Next of Kin with Penelope Keith and William Gaunt, which actually I recall Gareth Quenlin did that. And I'd met Gareth right at the beginning of my career on First of the Summer Wine was where I met Mike Stevens. So obviously there's that connection. I did A Prince Among Men, which was a vehicle for Chris Barry. The Kiss Me Kate, which was Caroline Quentin. And My Hero, which was Ardal O'Hanlon. So I was lucky that I still got to do some lovely work, and that they were all studio audience based, which was great. But sadly, no sort of Croft and Lloyd or Croft and Perry, sadly. Well, it's got to be Mr. Humphries. I didn't have as much to do on camera with John. Off camera, again, he was just a joy and it was lovely. I remember, you can't see because it's a podcast, but I'm quite demonstrative. I remember one of the evenings when we were socialising, we were chattering away, and John said to me, would you say all that again, but sitting on your hands? And he was obviously pointing out that I was gesticulating quite a bit, which I thought, coming from John, was a little bit pot kettle. But no, he was wonderful. I had a fabulous little pas de deux with him. I think it was in the very last episode. But Fleur got the joy of doing most of the comedy moments with him. But no, yeah, it has to be Mr. Humphries. Different ones for different reasons. I say that learning to ride, I've maybe made a joke of it, or wasn't very good. And stuff, but actually, I can remember walking down Oxford Street one day when I just learnt a rising canter. So I wasn't trotting anymore, I was cantering. And had that sort of feeling of the wind in my hair, and to be able to do that was wonderful. So obviously that was an integral part that I probably wouldn't have done if it hadn't been for Grace and Favour. The scene with the mummified cat that I've talked about, with the dream sequence with Cat and Peacock, was a particular sort of fond memory. I just loved doing that. There's so many separate little bits. I was actually watching some of it back recently. There's things I'd forgotten. So the costumes were fabulous. I was looking at one where we'd gone to do a darts match in the pub with the locals not liking us very much. And yeah, there's too many to recall, really. Yeah. And obviously, lovely Billy Burden. Some lovely moments with him. I think that's back to a few outtakes, shall we say. Thank you very much. It's been lovely to have this little trip down memory lane and recalling lots of happy memories.